Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the CIR Full Year 2016 Results Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Rodolfo De Benedetti, Chairman of CIR. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'd like to go through the presentation of the 2016 financial results, which were approved by the board this morning. I'd like to start on page five of the presentation, where you have the consolidated net income at 33.8 million, which compares to 42 million in 2015, which I remind you included about 11 million of non-recurring items. The contribution from the three industrial businesses, Espresso, Sogefi, and KOS, amounted to 25.1 million, an increase over the 20.4 million of 2015. And the consolidated net financial position was minus 143 million at the end of 2016, slightly increased over the minus 121 of the previous year. And this is composed of a net financial surplus at the holding company of 334 million, decrease from the 418 of the end of 2015. This is mainly due to the KOS investment, to share buybacks, and to the distribution of dividends which occurred during the year. And a net debt at the consolidated subsidiaries, which was 478 million, down from 539, mainly thanks to the strong cash generation at both Espresso, 42 million, and Sogefi, 23 million. On page 16, you have a consolidated simplified P&L, where you see revenues, which were 2.620 billion euros, a slight increase over the previous year, and a significant increase both in terms of EBITDA, about 20%, as well, actually even more, at the EBIT level, from 80 million to 130 million, thanks to the better contribution from, particularly from Sogefi and from KOS. Financial expenses were 21.8 million, and they compare to the minus 3.2 million of 2015. Now there are two non-recurring items here worth to mention. In 2015, the financial expenses included financial expenses is basically in 2015, this included the extraordinary capital gain on the sale of the Swiss Education Group investment, which was significant, 42 million euro. So this reduced financial expenses, and unfortunately, we don't have such an offsetting positive number for 2016. So the 2016 number is more a indicative of our recurring financial expenses for the group. On taxes, we also had some extraordinaries, about 10 million positive in Espresso in 2015. This was due to the IRAP change, the IRAP tax change, which benefited Espresso, which is a significant IRAP payer. On the contrary, in 2016, we had a negative one-off item of 10.2 million at the Sogefi level, which is basically related to tax loss carryforwards in the U.S. subsidiary. This explains the variation and the reduction from the 42 million of 2015 to the almost 34 million of 2016. What I would like to highlight here is that As I often say, P&Ls of a holding companies incorporate a bunch of non-recurring items. I would say that the quality of the 16 result is significantly better than the quality of the 15 results, which had a significant non-recurring component related to the disposal of the SEG investment. And you can see this from both the EBITDA and EBIT levels, where the operating industrial part of the earnings of the group has substantially increased over the previous year. On page 7, you have a breakdown of the net result done in a different way, so taking the share part of the net earnings of our controlled investments, so Espresso, so Sogefi, and costs, and the numbers you have here are the pro rata share of CHIR of those earnings. You see a significant increase both in the case of Sogefi and in the case of costs, and you see a decrease in the case of L'Espresso. I remind you that in 15, Espresso benefited from the sale of DJ Television, and so if you back that off, you have net earnings which are by and large in line with the previous year at the Espresso level. At the CHIR holding company level, we have a net a recurring income of 8.7 million in 16, which is slightly lower than the 10.6. In 15, here too, we had some gains, particularly related to our hedge fund portfolio, which we didn't have in 16, plus the ongoing reduction in interest rates has clearly reduced financial income at the holding company level on its cash resources. So as you can see, before extraordinary, our result is up from 31 million to close to 34, and then you have the non-recurring income, which is a balance between the plus 42 of the SEG sale and the minus 31 of the goodwill amortization at the Espresso level. On page 8, you have a consolidated balance sheet where I remind you this is not an NAV calculation. This is basically the pro rata share of the equity in our controlled investments. No major change here, with the exception of costs, and this is related to the increase of the investment that took place during the course of the year. So our total industrial companies are carried on our book for about 600 million euro, and then you have another 450, which is a mix of both net cash, 334, plus a bunch of non-core assets, mainly two buildings that we own in Milan, our private equity portfolio, which is in a liquidation mode. We haven't added to this portfolio in the last few years, and we cash in every year a reduction of that investment. And the same is true for our non-performing loans portfolio, which decreases by about 5 million through the payback of the portfolio. The shareholders' equity decreases slightly from 1.1 billion to about 1.052, despite the fact that we had positive results. And this is mainly due to dividend payments, share buybacks, about 30 million dividend payments, about 19 million of share buybacks during the year, but more importantly, the application of a what I think is a strange accounting system, whereby when we increase our investment in costs, we paid a bit more than 60 million, which is the fair value of those shares, but we have to account them as net equity. We have to account only our pro rata share of net assets. So basically, whatever goodwill we pay whether it's justified or not, and we think it's absolutely justified, gets written off of book value year one, which again I think is quite strange, but that's the way the accounting works. On page 9, you have a breakdown of our consolidated net financial position, where you have the 478 that I mentioned earlier, which is the sum of the net financial position of our control subsidiaries. You can see that Espresso for the first time became cash positive in 16 due to a very strong cash generation. So JFI reduced for the first time in years its net debt, here too because of significant cash generation, and COS managed to basically stay flat in terms of net financial position, despite having paid both an extraordinary and an ordinary dividend during the course of 16. So before that, the company has generated positive cash flow. Then you have the shareholding company level, which decreases from 418 to 334 because of the reasons that I mentioned earlier, so cost investment, buybacks, and dividends. And this gives you the consolidated net financial position of a negative 143. Then you have shareholders' equity and invested capital below that. On page 10, you have a bridge of the evolution of the net financial position during the course of the year, where you have dividends received plus 20, dividends paid minus 29, about 19.5 million of share buybacks, 74 million of investments, of which 64 of that is the increase in the cost stake, 26 million of divestments. This is private equity and NPLs, as we saw earlier, 10 million of net financial income, and an other for 16. This is basically taxes, operating costs, and extraordinary costs, and this brings the net financial position to a positive 334 at the end of the year. On page 11, you have a breakdown of the net financial position. The bulk of it is invested in fixed income instruments. So we have a very conservative and liquid policy in investing our financial assets. We take very little risk with it. We aim for capital preservation. We know that we are going to earn low returns on that cash for the time being, but that's a decision that we've taken. I'll skip page 12. I'll go directly to an overview of the three operating businesses. I'll do quickly Espresso and Sogefi because they have published recently their results, and so they're public already since a few days. I'll obviously answer any questions you might have on them. I'd say that Espresso had a reasonably good 16, even though revenues continued to decline at a slower pace than in the previous year. So there's been, I wouldn't say necessarily a stabilization, but at least a decrease in the negative rate of growth of revenues. EBITDA was slightly lower, about 44.7 million. This was mainly due to a continuous cost-cutting and efficiency actions. And net income before extraordinaries went slightly up from a bit less than 7 million to 8.5 million euro. And total net income, which includes extraordinary items, the decrease from 17 to 10 million. I'd say that the market continues to be tough, with both circulation revenues and advertising revenues down, even though at a lower pace than in the previous year. And the company continued to act quite forcefully on reducing its fixed cost basis. I think the main event of the year is certainly the agreement to integrate Itedi, which was announced at the beginning of last year. We are expecting to close on this transaction in the second quarter of this year. We receive on March the 9th the antitrust authority approval for the transaction. They put a condition which is related to the local editions of La Repubblica in Turin and Genoa, two markets where, because of the acquisition, we will increase our market share. And we actually proposed to the antitrust, which accepted this remedy, to basically give to a third party the management of the local advertising of Repubblica in those two cities. We're talking about a minor intervention. It's roughly 3 million euro of local advertising for those two editions, and they will be managed externally and not anymore by Manzoni as they have been and they are up to today. So the last element to close on this transaction is the AGCOM communication about the market share of our titles, including the Itedi titles, based on the 2016 numbers. And we are waiting that communication from AGCOM in the next few weeks. And at that point, we will be able to hold the shareholders' meetings that will basically decide on the issuance of shares and integration of Itedi within the Espresso Group. So Jeffy had a good year in 16. As you might remember, we have been saying for the last 18 months that our focus was going to be on working organically on the business of Sogefi to make sure that our margins would improve. We were not happy with the performance of the company, which has led to the decision of a change in management almost 2 years ago now. And we are happy to see that in 2016, the direction is clearly an improving one in terms of profitability. EBITDA on revenues increased by a couple of percentage points from 7.7% to 9.9%. The increase in revenue was about 5%. We had a drag on from exchange rates at the same exchange rates we would have had roughly the double, so close to 10% increase, with a very strong performance in both North America and Asia. The only weak point and the biggest challenge continues to be South America. Its contribution to revenues has now decreased to about 10%, but we still had a 7% decline in revenues in Latin America, mainly driven by Brazil, where the situation of the car market is still very bad. Free cash flow was a positive 31 million after a negative 25 million in 15. We have consistently said that we would measure the performance of the new management team on its ability to generate free cash flow, which we think is paramount in this business. And we're happy to see some good signs there. And the company has recently announced that it is targeting a middle single digit revenue growth for 17. Which we think, given our geographical spread and the situation of the car market globally, is achievable, and we expect a continuation of the increase in margins that we have seen in the course of 16. I'll spend maybe a bit more time on costs because the company hasn't reported, not being a publicly traded company, so it reports through CHEER. Revenues last year were 461 million, an increase over the 440 of the previous year. There is about 5% increase. I'd say out of that 5% increase, about 3.5% is organic growth, and about 1.5% is the result of acquisitions. EBITDA continued to grow more than revenues, went from 73 million in 15 to 82.4 million in 16. So with a 12% increase, which is a good performance, and net income increased consequently from a bit less than 20 million to 23.4 million. The company, as you know, has become the leading player in the long-term care market in Italy. It operates 77 facilities throughout the country, located mainly in the center to northern part of the country. Operates 3,300 beds. And I would say that the event here, which was important, it's known since about a year, has been the changing the shareholding structure of COS. As you know, Ardian has been for about five years our minority partner. We, together with F2I, bought out Ardian last year. CHEER increased its stake to close to 60%, and F2I and a couple of its investors through a controlled subsidiary, F2I Healthcare, took a close to 40% stake. So we're happy to have had the chance to both facilitate the successful exit of our minority partner, Ardian, who roughly doubled its money over less than 5 year period on this investment, and to increase our exposure to this business, for which we continue to have to be very constructive. We think that there is structural growth in this business because of the continuous aging of the population. We think the platform that we've built over the last 15 years, starting from scratch, is a very high quality one, both in terms of its asset base, its positioning, and the quality of its management. And so we are positive about our ability, together with our new partners, to continue this growth and consolidation process in a good market, which is still very fragmented, and where we see, as we have shown in the last few years, opportunities for both internal organic growth as well as external growth through acquisitions. The implied valuation that was used for the transaction for 100% of the equity was 644 million euros. On page 18, you have just a few key numbers for our non-core investments. I mentioned our private equity portfolio. It's a diversified portfolio of mainly fund investments and a minor number of direct co-investments. There are 18 million of other non-strategic investments. Those are our direct investments in minority interest in companies. In 16, we divested a minority investment in China in a radio company, which generated a very good return with a capital gain of 6.5 million, which was booked in 16. And we continue to harvest our NPL portfolio, which reached 38 million at the end of 16. We no longer operate in this business, so we don't have an operating business, and we have not added to that portfolio over the last few years. I would now open it up to your comments or questions.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Stefano Gamberini with Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. Just two quick questions, if I may. The first regarding L'Espresso Group. You said that the trend of revenues is improving. Could you give us an idea what you expect for 2016, excluding the integration with Itedi, or also what could be the target that could emerge after the merger with Itedi? And the second question regarding costs. You said that revenues were up 3.5% on a like-for-like basis. Could you give us, if you can, elaborate the same trend in EBITDA excluding the acquisition? Thanks.
Okay. On Espresso, and actually this is not just on Espresso, but we don't really give guidance on revenues. We don't do it as a matter of policy. We don't do it also particularly in the case of Espresso because it's honestly a very, very difficult market to forecast, and we don't pretend that we necessarily have a lot of visibility. What I mentioned is that the rate of decrease of revenues has improved. So last year, revenues were down 3.something%, which is less worse or better than in the previous years. We continue to see fairly soft revenue numbers because, as you know, our revenues are both circulation revenues as well as advertising revenues. And for both of those categories, the market is still contracting. So, you know, circulation revenues for all printed media products in Italy is going down, and we don't forecast that to have stabilized or to have changed. So I would suspect that that will continue to be true in 17. And even though the overall advertising market has stabilized in 16, but if you take the print component of it, which is the one that we're mainly exposed to, so with the exception of radio and digital, the rest of our business is a print business, that part of the advertising market continues to decline. So in a nutshell, we believe that our revenue, like for like, for 17 should continue to have an erosion. That will clearly be changed by the Itedi transaction because we will add a new business which last year generated about 135 million in revenues, so that will clearly increase our consolidated revenues, and we expect over the next couple of years to have some positive effect from that integration through a series of efficiencies and savings that we should be able to realize and that we have identified specifically. On costs, I gave you a like-for-like for revenues. Okay, so what I can tell you is that okay, so the development, the external growth in 15 and 16 that you have in the 16 numbers basically increased EBITDA by about 3.6 million compared to 14. So if you take the 14 perimeter and you compare it to 16, the increase in EBITDA came from about 3.6, 3.7 million from new activities that were added in the 15-16 period.
Many thanks.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one. The next question is from Francesco Previtera with Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. A simple question regarding the loyalty vote, when those will become effective, and if there is a disclosure regarding the shareholders that applied to get this privilege. Thank you.
The loyalty vote will mature in June of this year, so 2 years after its approval by the Cofide shareholders. May I remind you, we're talking about Cofide here. There's no loyalty voting here. So that will be triggered in June. And as you correctly mentioned, there is a registry which is kept by the company, which is not public, where shareholders can apply. And if they apply after 2 years, they earn double voting rights on those shares, provided that they have not sold or changed the ownership during those 2 year period. So in June, the company will communicate its new voting rights according to that provision. Cofide. So this has no effect on share.
Thank you.
Mr. De Benedetti, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you very much for having attended. Bye-bye.